thank you so much. Kimisha Nekor, Yisra Bebezdin. And the idea that the shtar basically protects itself. A very impactful idea and a very extraordinary idea, really. So we talked about, the parameters of this din, and especially the debate, whether or not there are... When do you say kim shtar istaraisa? When do you say, the more standard kim shtar istarabanam? What if the Baal is ma'arer? What if the Edim themselves, contradict? They say, we never signed that document, etc. What about the combination of those two? Is there a difference between Gittin and Shar Shtaros? But the upshot of it is that according to both Rabbi Avigdor, quoted in the Hagos Mordechai and the Rambam, at least when it comes to the Hukos Geirushin, and since our Gemara in Gimel Amud Aleph is talking about a get, so at least according to both of them, you have a problem. Namely, the Gemara on Dav Vav Amud Beis, as we discussed, we'll just look at it again for a second, but the Gemara on Dav Vav Amud Beis, even if the Gemara on Dav, say it this way, even if the Gemara on Dav Gimel Amud Aleph isn't explicitly problematic for the Rambam and Rabbi Avigdor, because the Gemara here only says that Kiyum Shtaros is Drabanan, but it doesn't say, it says Kiyum Shtaros is Drabanan, and Bafani Nachtam is there to discourage an Irur. But it doesn't actually say that if there is an Irur, that the Bafani Nachtam solves the Irur. That far doesn't say. So that, is a Gemara that you can read according to Rabbi Avigdor and the Rambam, and Rabbi Avigdor explicitly says, oh, in my opinion, that's a case where there's no Irur Rabal and there's no Hakchashas Ha'edim. The problem is that the Gemara on Vav Amud Aleph to Vav Mudeis, that's the Gemara that is a problem. Because the Gemara here says, as we've discussed it a couple of times, that Imisur l'Nardom, Yinardom, also the Kamed Rav, Tzarichna b'farnafelach farnanechtam, O lo tzarichna, Amalei lo tzrichas. The of this Ahani. So the Gemara says, my, this is on top of Vav Mudeis, Gemara says, my e of this Ahanis. So the Gemara says, "Diyasibala ma'arer lo mashkechinan be." So here the Gemara says explicitly that if there is b'farnei nechtam and a shtar, that it will solve the problem of irur habal. And the question is, how could that be if you hold like the Rambam and Rabbi Avigdor that under those conditions kiyum shtaros would be a Doraisa requirement? If it's a Doraisa requirement, then how does the Drabanan of Bifanei Nachtam, which is only Eid Echad, how does it solve that problem? So that's what we were trying to address according to the Rabbi Avigdor and according to the Rambam. The Shach asks this question against Rabbi Avigdor in Simen Membab. We read through the whole presentation of the Shach last time. And the Lechem Mishnah asked this question against the Rambam in the Perek Zayin, Hilchos Geirushin, Halacha Beis. Okay. So there are all sorts of answers given to this question, and they're important. They're important because they might be the answer, and also just they're, an exercise in further trying to, determine, distinctions between Kiyum Shtaros Daraisa and Kiyum Shtaros Drabanan. Or, how it could be that a Drabanan solution will solve this problem. So, the Lechem Mishnah's suggestion, he ultimately rejects, but it's an important suggestion, and it gets rehabilitated a little bit by the Pnei Yoshua on the Sugya, and that is that when the Gemara, even though, and this is the reason that the Lechem Mishnah is Doka, even though the Gemara introduces the principle of Medak Dayik and of Gimel Amud Aleph to explain a different problem, namely why is being Mekil and allowing an Eid Echad to say Bifani Nechta, Bifani Nechta to solve the problem, why does that help you, Mishum Aguna, Akilu Barabanan? It might also invite challenges, which at the end of the day, might be worse. So the answer is, well, the care, that's what the Gemara says, the care, you know, which you know he's going to take, because he's concerned that this might blow up in his face. The kivadom amar b'fnei kamanosno, Rabbi Yochanan bar Chanina chadam b'fnei shnayim, v'chadam b'fnei gimbal meikara meidak dayik v'lo osi la'arue nafshe. So the Gemara introduced this line that you know, in addition to the status, let's say, of Eid Echad being sufficient, that there's also more reason objectively to rely on Eid Echad in this case because of the principle of Medek Dayek, that there's additional motivation, additional incentive to make, you know, double, triple sure, you know, that, you know, really everything is okay with this particular get. The Gemara introduced it to explain a side problem, namely a policy question. Is this, you know, good for the, you know, principle of Aguna, or is it bad for the principle of Mishum Aguna Ikima? But in the end of the day, the Gemara, because of that problem, does factually tell us, right, it establishes that this isn't just Eid Echad, you know, Neman. There's an Eid Echad Neman plus a Medak Dayak. So the Lechem Mishnah basically was saying, you know, if that's the case, maybe that puts it over the top. You know, maybe that gives it the status of something that could solve a Daraisa problem as well. Or no, since the Gemara didn't bring it in for that reason, why should we assume that it's enough for that reason? So that's where the Pnei Yehoshua, in his main commentary, not in the Kuntres Achron, which I have published, which I have printed here, but in the main part, that's his suggestion. He doesn't quote the Lechem Mishnah, doesn't mention the Lechem Mishnah's problem. He just says, you know what? This isn't so bad, because L'maskana, it isn't just Eid Echad, it's Eid Echad plus Medek Dayek, and that puts you over the top. So that's one answer. But that's an interesting answer in general, whether you can have this kind of combination, you know, a little bit of this and a little bit of that, like you have Eid Echad, and you have Medek Dayek. And, you know, in addition to the Lechem Mishnah's Ha'ara, that the Gemara never brought it in for that reason, that's an interesting issue. And that's where I think the last thing I was talking about last time was this interesting, like, Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda in Eben Ezer, the Tshuva, talks about this same problem from the perspective of Eid Echad b'Misas HaBaal. Because you really have, it's, you know, phenomenologically the same issue. Here too, right, it seems like the Gemara in the beginning of Isha Rabbah says that if an Eid Echad comes along and says, your husband, we saw him, you know, die, we saw him fall into Mayim Shein Lahem Sof, whatever it is, that because of Isha Medak Daika, mitoch chomer shechmarta aleha b'sofa, hekalta aleha b'tchila. Because she, basically the Gemara says, number one, this is an Eid Echad, and it's not just an Eid Echad, she has good reason to be super cautious and to launch a serious or rigorous investigation, because she's not interested, you know, at the bar mitzvah of her son, you know, from the next marriage. She's not interested that her first husband should all of a sudden, you know, show up, you know, to wish mazel tov or not, you know, the Boharo Baragwa. So she's going to be, you know, hearing, when she hears this terrible news, you know, that her husband isn't coming back, she's not just relying on this, you know, Eid Echad is only an Eid Echad. You know, this is just, you know, the beginning for her, you know, to satisfy her, I guess, as close a certainty as you can get, you know, that it's safe for her to move on, that really this is a definitive resolution of his status. So that is what the Gemara says. So the question is that Doraisa? Or, I mean, that's better than a regular Eid Echad. But is that Doraisa or is that still Drabanan? So actually, if you look at Tosas in Yevamos, Tosas in Yevamos says it's still Drabanan. You know, it's just not Akiras Davar Minat Torah. Like, it's not a blatant, you know, violation of Doraisa law that we're just, you know, going with in order to Mishum Aguna Akilu Barabanan. It's not really enough, if not for this kula, but it's also not nakira. That's kind of a very interesting, you know, diplomatic, but it isn't meant to be diplomatic, it's meant to be substantive, but it's an interesting, you know, kind of gray area. However, some of the Mefarshim were interested, you know, it would be much better if we could explain, you know, that the din of Eilecha b'misa sabal, or this, you know, solution, really works from the Torah, because, you know, obviously it's the same problem. Mi kemidi, can the Chachamim tell you, you know, if min haTorah she's an Eishes Ish, can the Chachamim tell her to go out and get married? You know, it's not such a simple matter. I mean, there are those who say that Eilecha b'misa sabal and Eid m'piyed and all those things, that it's based on the principle of Afkin Rabbanim l'kiddush minei. I mean, Rashi says that in Shabbos. And other Rishonim say it, and Poskim say it as well. But again, you'd like to avoid it as much as possible, because those are so disruptive, you know, that you'd like to leave it, you know, to the cases of the Gemara, and either way, you'd like to limit it as much as possible. Anyways, so there's another, you know, basis for Eilecha b'misa sabal, and that's part of the story there too, but it's not our... I'm just mentioning it very quickly now, and that is that the Gemara in the end of the Masechta of Yevamos speaks about Milsa David Ligluye Lo Mishakriinchi, that something that in the end, you know, will eventually come out, Milsa David Ligluye, you know, eventually you'll find a body or something, or you'll find two witnesses. So Milsa David Ligluye Lo Mishakriinchi, we rely on that more. So many people think that is Doraisa. In the Rambam, if you look at the Rambam, for example, it's a fascinating topic. The Rambam in Hilchos Eidos, like Perek Hei Hilchos Eidos, I think Halacha Gimel, I don't have any Rambams here, right? There the Rambam says that, the Rambam talks about Eidechad, when they will talk about this, our next topic. The Rambam talks about, you know, different types of Eidechad. So he talks about Eid Echad, you know, b'shavua, and then he says, oh, there's another Eid Echad, you know, the three cases where we say, you know, komokom shemina Torah Eid Echad areikan shnayim, sota, egla rufa, and misa sabab. He says, that's another example. So he says, however, you should know that in those three, that one of them, you know, seems, the way he sounds like in Hilchos Eidos, he sounds like he's saying, that's only midivrayim, based on, you know, Isha Daika, you know, Uminsava. So if you look at just at that Rambam in Hilchos Eidos, it seems like the Rambam holds Eilecha Misabal is Drabanan. We rely on it Midrabanan, but that it really, you know, that's... If you look at the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Geirushin, on the other hand, there the Rambam quotes Nilsen Avidu Ligluye Lo Mishakri Inchi. So that, of course, was something that attracted the attention of a lot of the Mefarshim and a lot of the Poskim. So that's all part of that debate. Anyways, so the Nod Bihuda, you know, addresses this whole question. And one second, where is that? I have this in the Marim Komos from last week. I think it's the last one. Yeah. Shoot. Nod Bihuda Madura Kama Evano Ezra Simon Pehe. So he deals with both of these questions together because they're... Obviously, they have a common denominator. Medik Dayik appears in both. The problem, objectively, is the same problem. Right? How could you allow her to continue to marry someone else on the basis of a get, right, which is only you know, sanctioned midrabanan, or a misa sabal, which is only sanctioned midrabanan? So the Nod Bihuda says something very interesting. He says, but there, first of all, he rejects the idea of mixing and matching, which I thought was interesting. Yeah, but here, shoot, Nod Bihuda Madura Kama. What page is this, 7? In your
Marbukomos?
Page 6. Oh, mine's 6 too, okay. You mean in my pre-Zev copy that I marked up. Bazen Nira Lafiani Yazdaiti, says Nod Bihuda. Mashik Sas Poskim Sfirulahu De Eidechad Lahoid Al Misa Sabal Neman Minan Torah. He says, some people try to explain that the din of Eidecha Neman, you know, Lahatir Sa'isha is a din Doraisa, not a din Rabban. Again, we'd all prefer that. He says, Ulach Ora Yipale, Echia Neman. Like, how could that work if it's only an Eidechad? Right? Ba'ayin bin Nebuke Yosef Sham, Besugya Hahidi Vamas, Resh Parakisha Rabba, Vigam Dibriatosis Sham, Daf Peches, Dibra Masal Mito Chomer, Nira Duri, Nira Luri, that's the one I was referring to, and Peches, the Laislon the Maymar Anan Sadi, the Daika, the Naman Idakon Bekach Minatora. We're not going to say because she's going to launch an investigation and be super careful, you know, and plus she's relying on an Eid Echad Minatora, that's good enough. This is a Dindar Abanan, Dinamon Ayn Sham. I told you the language is even better because it's, he says, it's not Akira, but it's not good either, okay, whatever that means. So the Nod Buddha says, Vadavar Tamua. You know, that's very astonishing. Echasot Gaitach, he said, what would be the Havamina even that we would combine Medak Dayak? And Eidacha. This is where I think it's interesting to us. Right? Kol isha shetomar shechokra harbe v'lo noda lo davar mibala nema anan sadi. Sharei isha af shedika mikomakam lo shama rak divrei ha'ed u'mimanashach osher lo yoil ha'ed Oshalo Tzitzarech Ha'ed. So this is, I thought, very interesting. Meaning the whole idea of the Pnei, of the Lecha Mishnah, and which is Nidcha, but for other reasons. But he's willing, he doesn't, not fundamentally Docha, and the Pnei Yeshua accepts it. Again, the Nod of Yehuda is addressing this in a different context and is rejecting it in principle. So what he's saying is, you know, you can't combine these two things. Either the Eid Echad is good enough, and you don't need the investigation, right? Or, you know, if it's not good enough, then it doesn't add anything. You know, either, or, you know, you could say, I guess, the same with the investigation. I mean, you can't combine, you know, an objective report with a, you know, an effort, the implications of effort, we'll call it that. So the truth is, if you're just looking for brute, anansadi, I'm not sure that that's true, right? Sometimes you have a combination of factors. Maybe each one, and it's not like, it's less than success, therefore it's zero. Zero and zero is zero. Maybe that's not true. Maybe, you know, you need a certain threshold for an anansadi, that is, you know, achievable only through, but, you know, the values of different, yeah.
Like a masla is that kind of example that we, you know, a person makes a taina and yeah. If there's reason to believe that taina or not to believe the taina, then we are allowed to apply.
Except that a masla usually, I mean, to be fair about it, we'll talk about this in the next topic. A masla usually works, doesn't work against Eidos, it only works, you know, in the context of Amanas.
I mean,
you
right, it's a taina technically. I mean, the world of.
I mean,
the
masla is more to explain, like, why isn't this kivin shigachuv or the equivalent of kivin shigachuv? Like, you said something. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the woman said, Eishas Isha.
Right.
You know, he wanted this, she was being pursued, you know, and, you know, he was sending her flowers, you know, like every 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And she said, listen, I don't know, you know, I'd love to accept your proposal, except that I'm already married, right?
But that's taking
it. And then 2 weeks later, she gets married to somebody else. So they say to her, like, you know, what happened to, I'm already, you know, the guy shows up. He says, you know, she said, listen, when I was being stalked by this, you know, crazy flower person, you know, so I said I was married. Now, you know, now that he's, you know, got his attention diverted.
But that's an objective.
Now I'm telling the truth.
That's an objective statement. I'm married without any.
Right. I'm just saying the only difference is that the only difference there is that that you know, statement itself is either based, according to the Gemara and Ksuvos, either on like Shavinach Chaticha de Isura or Eidacha Nemun be Isurim, unclear, you know, something like that. Had it been something like Eidos, like for Eidos, we don't believe in a masla.
Right.
You know, we say Kim Chig and Shuv and Chazur Magid. Now, again, is that because its higher standard kind of locks it in and makes it invulnerable to the explanation? I mean, a masla is an explanation. It's an understandable explanation, and it allows you to extricate yourself, you know, from a level of credibility. But, you know, I think it's a good example.
Kind of straddles that line. We're talking in Eid Echad here. then an eight FNM Bisurin.
Right. So here it's not Eidos either. Right.
There's an overlap here. Right.
I think, but the problem here is that what we're trying to say to begin with is that, like you do want or need kind of the threshold of Eidos, but you're not getting it through Eidim. You know, the question is, can you get it through a kind of like Anan Sadi that is the equivalent? And again, because we've spent a good chunk of this, you know, this year and this year talking about things like, Anan Sadi, of Reish Lakish. We're going to get back to that, right? The Avedi Chassima in the Get or in the Shtar Kiddushin, maybe that's going to even work for any Kiyu. You know. So the idea that you can have, again, the question is how does it really work? And that's what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. So if it always works actually midin Eidos, and that's a form of Eidos, great. If it's like the Nesivus and the Xos and the, they say, oh no, it's like an Anan Sadi, but it's a very strong one. So then how do you build those things? So this is a really objectively interesting question, because the Lechavish of Pnei Yeshua are examining this idea. You know, he's rejecting it for that reason, he might be rejecting it for another reason, but basically what they're saying is this combination, might get you there. And in order to be Huda, and I'm just explaining why that might be, if you have an Anan Sadi, if we could quantify it, by assigning credibility values, to it. Like this is a plus two, and that's a plus three, and you need, over five, or over four, for a Daraisa, level, effect, through Anan Sadi. You know what I mean? Something like that. And then Rabbi Huda is saying, it's apples and oranges. Either this is working b'din eid echad, or it's working b'din daiko min siva. But the idea, b'manushach. So either, it's a sensational, also suggest. He's saying, what do you need the eid echad for? Her husband's missing. She's hiring, Sherlock Holmes to find him. And Mycroft can't find him, and Sherlock can't find him. Nobody can find him. So at a certain point, isn't that good enough? That's Daiko Mintzeva, L'chumra. So,
is Daiko Mintzeva circumstantial evidence, or is it something more halachic
than that?
Well, the lack of, hiring investigators, not finding anything, that's not really...
Right, so it is a little amorphous. Yeah. I think that's probably, factors into the Nota Behuda too. But what I'm saying is the Lecha Mishnah, Pnei Yeshua, what they're saying, to use the line of the Lecha Mishnah, but not in the way that he meant it. The Lecha Mishnah was only saying, listen, the Gemara didn't introduce Daiko Mintzeva, to explain this problem, and therefore we have no right. It's also saying he's making an epistemological statement a little bit, not that this is impossible to say, but that you don't know from our Gemara that you have enough. That's what the Lecha Mishnah is saying. What the Nota Behuda is saying sounds like, something more fundamental. Again, he's not talking about our Gemara yet, but he's talking about a parallel, the Gemara Nivamas. What he's saying is, not that we don't know that there's not enough, but if we did know, or there in theory, then we, there could be, right? He's just saying, no, it doesn't work, you can't combine, this isn't about credibility points. Either you're going the route of Eidos, in which case this is something that requires Shnayim Eidim, right? Or if you're really going to make the claim that this is such a strong, Anan Sadi, whatever you want to call it, then, what do you need the Eid Echad part for? But of course, even on that, it's vulnerable because you could say, if the Eid Echad comes along and he says, I saw this guy fall into Mayim Shnei Lemso, or maybe better, maybe he says, I'm a doctor, and I was there, and, I pronounced him, longer alive. Dvadai. It's not even I saw him going to Mayim Shein Limso. But I'm only in Eid Echad, right? So the idea that, you start with, it's not Eidos by any stretch of the imagination, but it is very strong Nemanus, and then from there, if you want to, she wants to fill in the gap. She's not Midin Eid Echad, but... And it's not so unreasonable. So that's why it's so interesting that the Nota Behuda. But anyways, his own solution is almost equally fascinating and I think controversial. So what he says is, "V'amarti ani, v'yesh l'kayim shtei adeos, She'edecha ne'eman b'misas ha'baal min ha'Torah. The edecha is ne'eman min ha'Torah. V'afal pichein rak takonis chachamim. Like, what does that mean? V'hainu, the alpidin lo haya ra'ui lahachmir b'sofa. Right, all things being equal, right, she could have just said, Sharianusahi. Right, she could have said, listen, the guy shows up, Baharag Viraglov, you know. So, again, that doesn't help her for the consequences, but she's not going to get punished. I mean, she's going to suffer the consequences of, you know, first husband showing up because she's going to be Teitzei Mizeh Umizeh, the child's going to be a mamzer. But she didn't do anything wrong in the sense that, you know, from a criminal, halachic criminal point of view, she's also a tragic, you know, victim here. Sorry, Hanusahi. Rak Chachamim Echmiru B'Sofa, Valideh Kein Dik Daika B'Tchilasa. Okay. The Heim Divrei Agamar Sham Bivamos Mitoch Chomer Shech Marta. So what his argument is, the Kivan De Daika Shuv Di Yuka Di La Mara Lecheska Seisha Sish. Ukamo Shekasa Vatosis Bivamos Da Peches Amud Beis Vabala Ashim Talui Shehikshra Mai Nakar Ashim Talui Rafila Bechatas Koi Duk Ma Cheska Seisha Sish. Tirtu Demasha Isha Daika Mara Lechazaka Bimkein Mefura Shadavar Shaidei Diyuka Nasa Mivadai Lesafe Kedin Hashem Talui. Bimkein Shuv Lo Mikri Misham Vahala Cheskas Isur Ukim Mefura Shbiyardeya Simin Kufiyot Vishach Klali Svek Sveka Oschav Ches Shafilu Leoser Svek Sveka Vcheskas Isur. There's a question. Let's say you have a Cheskas Isur and you have a Svek Sveka. Right? This is like a very like famous question. Because we said like Ruba v'chazaka, this is the famous, you know, Tshuva Sarajba, basically. The famous, famous one. Simin Tof Aleph. You know, that one. Yeah. Okay, I'll explain. So, the Rajba has a Tshuva that, where he asks this question, like, what's the status of Svek Sveka Keneged Eschazak Isur? But the way that he formulates the question, he says like this. You know, Sveka Drabadan is Lakula, says the Rajba. I mean, says the Gemara. But the Rajba says, yeah, but not B'mokom Cheskas Iser. Like, if you have a Cheskas Iser, then Sveka Drabadan is Lachumra. Right? But on the other hand, we say Ruba the Chazaka, Ruba Adiv. A Rove against the Chazaka, Rove wins out. So the question now is, so you have, oh, Sveka Drabadan Lakula, not against the Chazak Isura. Rove against, Rove wins out? Yes, even against the Cheskas Isur. Now the question is, what about Svek Sveka? Like, that's another winner? Svek Rabbanu Lekula, Machria. Rove, Machria. Svek Sveka, Machria. So this one gets blunted by Cheskas Isur. That one overrides Cheskas Isur. What about this one? That's the famous. The reason it's famous is because he formulates it that way, but this is the famous one where he says that every Svek Sveka is a kind of a rove, but really what he really says is that it's lo gara mi rove. That's where all the achronim, you know, Pnei Yoshua and then the Shemites so much later, you know, they all came, you know, to this idea that maybe a Svek Sveka is like a, you know, a composite, you know, rove, because it's 50-50, 50-50, so it's 75-25. And he does say that, but he doesn't only say that. He really says it's more than that. He really says that it's, you know, logarimiro. And we've talked about this in the past. So he's saying, so you have Svek Sveka. According to the Shach, it encounters a Chazaka. That's a big debate. Mikomokam imika Svek Sveka below a Safek Harishon Mutter, Ayin Sham. Imkein a Safek Harishon Shuv Motzi Mecheska Sa'isar. Bekivin Shekein Gam Kan Shal Yedei Diyuka Dida. Right, kvar nikra megareya, right, mecheskas iser v'shuv edecha neman min haTorah. Wow, v'yesh bazar richus devarim v'ein kan mekabel. So basically, what he ends up saying is, you could combine these two things, but not the way that you thought before. The way that you thought before was like we said. Like, you know, you're assigning, you're trying to get to the Anan Sadi level of an Umdana. Very interesting. So, you know, Eidechad is giving you a certain amount of points. And then, you know, trying to put it over the top, you know, with Medek Dayak. Or vice versa, it doesn't really matter. And he says, oh, you can't do that. It's apples and oranges. either, you know, either this works today, Nachlan, or it doesn't work. It's not. So, but his way is no. He's saying, really, but he wants a way of explaining that Eidechot B'Misa Sabal, you know, which starts off, sounds like in the Gemara like it's Rabbanon, but it's really Doraisa. So his answer is, no, it works by dividing and conquering a little bit. Meaning, the Medak Dayik is a factor. It neutralizes the acuity of the Cheskas Iser. Once you've, neutralized the acuity, I'm saying it that way because I'm not sure that it completely neutralizes it, but at least it neutralizes it sufficiently. Once you've done that, then the Eidechot will be Naaman. He just can't be Naaman against his Chazak Isura. That's a suggestion. I went about the fact that it's Davar Shebe'erva, so that's our next topic we're going to discuss a little bit. Like, when does the Eidechot Naaman Isura work? And what's the difference between Davar Shebe'erva and his Chazak Isura and things like that. But the bigger point is that according to the Rabbi Yehuda, you divided and you conquered. The Medak Dayak, worked on the, neutralized the problem of the Cheskas Iser. And now we're saying, Eidechot Naaman B'Isurim. Yeah.
So when we were talking about in Mordechai for Rabbi Bigdor, that his Chumma went the other way. It was about turning Kedushin, turning Cheskas Pnuya into a new Iser. And so would the Noda Behuda work the other way? In other words, would you be able to sort of like, you have some sort of kol or some sort of suffix, diuk, that is magareya the cheskas pnuya and turns her into like a suffix ishish, and then you could have an eidechot that expands that? In other words, does it go both ways? And it's similar
to let me think. I'm trying to think. The case there is, I thought his point was, I think the Rav Avigdor, the point is a little bit different, and that is he's saying like this: Kiyum Shtaros. De Oraisa and De Rabbanon. He say this works differently in Gittin than in Kedushin, right? Because in Gittin, what we're saying is you don't have an if it's kiyum shtaros the oraisa, then she's bechaskas eishasish, and then nothing has happened,
mm-hmm.
Right? But in the case of kiddushin, right? So you have a shar kiddushin. So even if it's even midrabanan, even if you say kiyum shtaros drabanan, you need more. What you're saying is you need more for them to be able to live together.
Right.
Right? But on a Daraisa, what I'm saying there, it's still on a Daraisa level. What we're saying is, Kim Shtaros Drabanan, but if that's a case where really you need Kim Shtaros, whether, you understand what I'm saying? So then she's still an Ashes Ish.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I hear what you're saying, but it wouldn't exactly be that case. Okay, so then the Rabbi Yehuda applies it to our case. The shuv edach nemtar. So he says v'yesh b'arichas tuart. Then he says kein ani omer b'kiyum aget. Everybody with me? What line is it?
40.
Kein ani omer b'kiyum aget kiyum de midaraisa kimosh and echor dusan bebezdin. Now here again, he doesn't use mei dagdayik. He could have. Once he's doing this already, he could have just said, just like the mei dagdayik in edach nemtar b'isurim neutralizes the Cheskas Eishasish and then allows Eidechot Naaman B'Isurim to take over, right? Hu Hadin. I think the reason that he didn't want to say that, maybe, I'm not sure. I should say I'm not sure. Because I think here the Eidechot's still. Yeah, I'm not sure. I know why. Because, again, I think maybe, again, I'm guessing that he's, he's taking a page from the Lecha Mishnah, maybe. And that is that the Medak Dayak here is only introduced on a policy level to explain why this really is Mishum Aguna Hikilu and not the opposite. But the Gemara never said here that Medak Dayak is a substantive reason, to be Mekel and to rely on Reish Lakish. That's what I'm guessing. Okay. So for him, it's more Reish Lakish undermines the Eidechot Naaman B'Isurim in all cases. So he's saying, Even Reish Lakish will do that, even where Kim Shtaris is Daraisa, like for the Rambam. V'heicha she'ein ha'bal davar toin mezuyav, right? Hu yim akuyim bevadai. V'heicha she'toin mezuyav, let's say the Rambam and Rabba Vigdor, mikomokom kfar yotza michlal cheskas isur lechal safek, u'megareya micheskas isur eish ish, v'shuv eidechad neman min ha'torah. V'lekach ha'filo osi ha'bal u'me'arer lo mashke chinan bei. This is to explain Shitas HaRambam. And I came to this Nodeh Behuda. It's also quoted in the Piskei Tshuva in Evan Ezer as part of the discussion of the Rambam, meaning the Beis Shmuel and so on. They discuss this, you know, what do you do with the Rambam? What do you do with the Gemara and Rambam base according to the Rambam? You know, they mention this problem, and they also don't have a good... I'll tell you what the Beis Shmuel says in a minute. I may have mentioned last time. So in the Piskei Tshuva there, they don't tell you what he said, they just say, among other things, Ayin Tshuvas Nodeh Behuda, you know, Kama Simen Pehe. So I was curious, I wanted to, you know, check it out. Because it's obvious, it's agav, a bigger, you know, discussion. You wouldn't necessarily, that's not the topic heading even. But it's a fascinating idea. So what he's suggesting is this is his solution for the Rambam. The Kokomokom Bein Yeh Mitaima Didi Bein Mitaima Da Beis Shmuel, that's he's discussing the Beis Shmuel. I'll just get that in a minute. Demairi Sheheid Kodem Iruro Shabal. That's the Beis Shmuel. Right? Kol Zeh Le'inyan B'faninachtam B'faninachtam Shirak Midrabanan Aval Hoyb Shalohoya Botnai Tzorek Shnei Edim Min HaTorah. Right? Sharihava Dover Shabba Erva Biskazik Isur Ashish. We'll get back to that, you know, in a minute. Okay. So, and then he goes on, he speaks more about, you know, the problem of Kium Shtaris, etc. But here you can see already he's trying to make a distinction between the capacity of Reish Lakish you know, regarding Mezuyev and you know what. You know, what we call the problem of Tanai, which I'll get to in a couple of minutes. Okay. So the Beis Shmuel's answer, I think I mentioned already, is the what he refers to, and that is the Beis Shmuel said, maybe there's a difference between, you know, whether the shtar comes to court before the Irur, the get in this case, is delivered before the Irur Rabal or after. And that's, as I say, has roots actually, the Beis Shmuel doesn't mention it, in the Or Zeruah himself. The Or Zeruah seems to say that the whole din of Reish Lakish only begins once the Eidos reaches Bezdin. And the implication is that if the Irur is before that, that might make a difference. Beis Shmuel doesn't say that that's a broader requirement of Reish Lakish, but he does say that that would tip the balance in this particular issue. So I think that, again, this timing question on the surface, again, very mechudash. Because, like, who cares? In the end of the day, you still have a shtar with signature. You know, we're trying to figure out, does Reish Lakish work and the shtar protects itself, yes or no? You know, and on the other side, you have Irur HaBaal. Like, who really cares about the timing of it? You know, whether the Baal was Ma'arer before the shtar was handed over or after it was handed over. Objectively, the factors are the same. However, I think I mentioned last time, if I didn't, I'll mention it again. And that is that, you know, we do find in some, you know, contexts that timing really matters. And Dafkan contexts like this. So I mentioned Ula. Ula's view was that when it comes to Sota, Eidachot B'Sota, Eidachot B'Egla Rufa, Eidachot B'Misas Habal. So Ula says that Kom Bokom Shemina Torah Eidachot Harekan Shnayim. And what he meant by that is, if the Eidachot comes and he's accepted in the court, and then after, you know, another Eidachot shows up, you know, Bazeh Acharzeh, not Bevasachas, so we give priority to the first aid over the second. We don't consider that Hakasha. And again, if it were two Eidim that showed up to contradict the Eidachot, then of course, that would be a different story. But if it's only one Eid who shows up, now there's a whole Dion in the Rishonim and the Rambam and others. Does it matter if the first one was apostle, you know, which works, because in those areas, if it works, and the second one was a kosher, does the first one dafka meet to be a kosher? Is a kosher and a kosher, apostle and apostle? What about apostle and a kosher? And these are very important issues. Maybe we'll discuss that in the next topic. That's a really interesting issue. But let's leave all that aside for the moment. The bigger takeaway is that Ula was Mechadesh, that when it comes to these three areas at least, then there's a secondary debate in the Rishonim, is it only these three or any Eid Echad Naaman B'Yisurin? That's a massive debate. Then Nebuka Yosef quotes the Ritva as saying only these three. And the Marik, you know, clearly even earlier, like, you know, Rishonim already have this, and Shach believes in it. Others say, no, it's all Eid Echad Naaman B'Yisurin. But whatever it is, at least in these three cases, the timing matters. So why is that exactly? So again, there could be different explanations, and it could be a very limited halacha. But one possibility is, again, and this is the other case where kind of what we have, and it's also very controversial, and that's the Rambam, the Sanhedrin, in Perek Tazayin, halacha Vav. A bunch of places, really. That's just the most famous one. But also in Hilchos Shkogos, I think it's Perek Gimel Halacha Beis, and he has it in Hilchos Nazirus, I think Perek Tes Halacha Yud Zayin, whatever, the whole bunch of them, and there are a bunch in Perek Aleph, Perek Chaf, Perek Aleph. This is the question. Let's say an Eid Echad comes to court, right, and he like establishes a fact. Like the case of the Rambam is, Eid Echad comes to court and he testifies that this drink is non-kosher, or this piece of meat is kosher. Okay, so if there was like a Din Torah going on, and Reuven ate the piece of meat, and now the question is whether he's Chai Malkus or not, you know, then you'd need Shnai Maiden for that, because it's an Onesh, Malkus. But let's say that's not what happened. What happened was, there's a piece of meat, you know, and then the Nachman comes to court and says, by the way, you should know, that meat is chayla. And then, 10 minutes later, a week later, a month later, a year later, it doesn't make a difference, somebody picks up the thing and he's about to eat it, and you say to him, you know, you can't eat that, it's chayla. You give him masra, and he eats it anyway. And he says, afa tichin, or whatever it is that he does. So according to the Rambam, you can get malchus for that. Even though, if the Din Torah now was, you know, what did he eat and what did he know, Eid Echad wouldn't work for that. So that, of course, that's very controversial. Is that only based also on a chazaka? The Rambam uses the language of yuchzaka, you know, ha-iser be-Eid Echad. So, but pashtus, what he means by that, is that, you know, the Eid Echad come and he establishes this, you know, he establishes this truth. And that's the end of the story. The Mishnah Melech, because there were some stiras in the Rambam, and the Shev Shmaitza much later, you know, came to the conclusion that that the word yuchzak means that it only works if not only the Eid Echad comes, but let's say it's also, like, you know, been muchzak that way for 30 days, like no one challenged it. So there's like a combination of things. Anyway, the bigger point is, but the simple pshat of the Rambam is not that way. So, like, Manushach, again, it's the same problem. I mean, why does the timing matter? If he came to court, you know, and established that this is Chalev, you know, we treat it as a fact even for ownership. If it was a Din Torah about the Onesh, we wouldn't accept his testimony. So the answer is, maybe, that, you know, the idea in these cases is that the standard of, you know, getting facts into, you know, into the court system, you know, is different than when they're loaded facts, you know. When it's part of a, you know, a capital case, or a Malkus case, or an Erva case, then the standards of collecting evidence, the evidence is already charged, and we know what it's, you know, what it's going to be all about, so we have higher standards. But the, you know, matter of fact, facts, meaning just like, you know, what's his name? Who is he? What's the status of this object? you know, as long as they can get into the system, you know, kind of in a neutral way, so we do that. So similarly, you know, if there's, you know, sometimes when you have a gray area, you know, it's as long as it's unopposed, you know, initially, you know, we take it as a fact, as a kind of a neutral fact, and then we just deal with it. Whereas if, you know, Meirosh, there's some question about the implications of this or some controversy about the fact of it, you know, so then that already establishes like a whole different, you know, level, you know, it, you know, it triggers all the alarms and say, oh no, this has to be treated as formal, you know, erva, or mammon, or malchus, you know, evidence, you know, and then the collection standards, you know, are different, or this is, you know, controversial, so therefore it needs a standard. It's not just, you know, factual, and so on. So this is another answer. The Pnei Yehoshua himself, as I think I mentioned last time, in his Kutras Akron says two interesting things. One is that, going to be very important, we'll get to that in a second, the first one. The one thing he says we'll get to in a second, but the second one, Od Hayanir Ali Lafarish Be'inyan Acher, in the Pnei Yehoshua, not the...
Line 11.
The third paragraph. What is it?
Line 11.
Line 11. What page?
Six.
Okay, page 6, line 11. He says, Ode Yadir Ali Lafarish Be'inyan Acher. So this is actually very similar to the Note of Yehuda, but... not, but for a different reason. Namely, the trick, not the trick, the mechanism, right, we'll call it the strategy, of turning this into a Enecho Nemon B'Yisurim case is a very sound strategy. Because remember, what are we trying to figure out? We're trying to figure out how could something be Kiyum Shtaros Dora, it's a Doraisa requirement, but you could get away, you know, with Enecho Nemon B'Yisurim, with one aid, you know, Minatora. Right? You can't do that. So we talked about, you know, making it into an Alan Sadi. Terrific. We talked about, you know, maybe the difference, you know, in timing. You know, maybe if you could get this either Alan Sadi or Eid Akkad into the system in advance, that would make a difference. Right? Then the Note of Yehuda had this Einfall to, you know, kind of neutralize the Cheskas Iser. And once you neutralize the Cheskas Iser, maybe Eid Akkad is going to be Nema. Right? So the Pnei Yehoshua similarly had that idea, but instead of doing it by neutralizing the Cheskas Iser, what he does is he zeroes in the case of Befanei Nechta, Befanei Nechtam, on the substance of the Eidus, right? Which is different than the Eid Akkad B'Sabal. Although you might take this approach to Eid Akkad B'Sabal as well. I'll explain in a minute. And that is that you're not directly being made, you know, in the solution of the problem. But what we care about is, you know, are these Edom on this get, and are they being made that there was a Gerushin, right? But the methodology of resolving the conflict when the Baal comes to court and says it's, you know, it's a fraudulent document and the signatures are forged, is to prove whether or not the signatures are really forged. So the question of forged signatures affects Dover Shebe'erva, but the tochen of it is really about, you know, identifying the scrawl, the John Hancock of these people. That's really kind of Eid Akkad Nemon B'Yisurim. So that's what Pnei Yehoshua argues. He says, Oray Neor Lidafarish B'Inyan Acher, Dehodar Milan Hocha B'Dinu Dekiyim Shtaros Nam Elaboy. He says, and this is a kind of an interesting reread of the Gemara, when we say, you know, Kim Shtaros is not Doraisa, he's saying what we mean is Lav de lo boy Kim Klal midoraisa, Ela Ikar Kavanah de midoraisa Bishtaros, Nami lo boy Trey Leina Kim. What we're really saying is not that there's no aspect of Kim Doraisa, there's no Kim Doraisa that requires Shnayim Minatora. You could get away with a key in the Kim Doraisa with Echad, Leinyan Akiyam. Ubechad sagi, Dinehi deidachad b'mamon lav klamu. It's true that if we were talking about the standard of edus mamon or erva per se, right, then we would, you know, come to the conclusion that, you know, that kiyum shtaros, you know, doraisa, you know, requires shnayim eidim. Hainul inyan, though, in neid al ikar mamon, lahotzim yala muksak. That's if we were talking about edus that directly, you know, is motzi mamon, or in the case of isha, edus that is directly, you know, neid that she was megureshes, mash enken hacha dalav al ikar hamamon neid don nigmar edus, ayin edim achsum al ashtar. The real edus is in the scrawl. It's in the signatures. The question is, are the signatures fraudulent? So now the focal point, again, what we care about is the edus, right? But the method, you know, is the signatures. So the signatures, he's saying, that doesn't have to be, you know, require shnayim, min haTorah. Ela fuke midei tainus mezuyah, to have a legilui milsa yelma. That, you know, that's a milsa vidi legluye. That's just factual. Shemeid shezuchasima sa'edim. Efshad lo mikri davar shemamon, or erva, meaning, ela gilui milsa. The kaigabna fila b'davar shem'erva ashkechan desagi b'chad kedi isa b'cholet, and he's comparing it to the Gemara Nivamos, le'inyan ishtemo de'inhu de'achua de'misnehu. We'll talk about this in our next topic, meaning identifying, like you have a Yibum case, and you're identifying who is the brother of the mace. Right? And if you don't know, if there's some question. V'harbe kiyotzu ba'elu. Mashma, duhu adin, v'hu atam, linyam kim shtar, el durabanan atrechu. When we say abanan atrechu, we don't mean that there's no daraisa requirement, because the shtar protects itself, and you don't need anything. We mean there's no daraisa requirement of edus, but there is a daraisa requirement, b'makom iror, of edachon nevon bisurim. So it's element rabbanon atzku trei linyan kim shtaros kedei shel alacha laik beidusma. V'hachem shum aguna ukmu a daraisa v'sagi bechad. So that's kind of a brilliant suggestion too. Then he says al tatama al svarazu shekasavti dekivin de lava fuke mamon mamishu lo dami. The Shar Edus Mamon, right? This idea that even though the impact is Hotzas Mamon, the Tochen, the Chefza Shal Edus, you know, is not on the, you know, on the Mamon, but on some, you know, Davar, you know, Ha'omed L'Gilui. Shaki Yosef is a Kosova Rajba. The view of Beis Yosef, because other people say this idea, the Talmud, the Mekayim, and the Sashar Shalob, if they Baldin, how can you be Mekayim the chasima sa'edim, you know, shalo bifnehem. We have a rule. The Gemara says in Bava Kama, ein mekablin edus shalo bifne baldin. So are we trying to, we're trying to figure out whether these edim are the ones who sign. Don't they have to be there? The answer is no, not at all. So the Rajbo explains, not at all. The edus isn't on the, you know, the effect is the mano shebishtar, but the edus isn't there. I'm not sure about that, but okay. You get the basic idea. So this is going to be very important in general. Now, interestingly, you know, the idea, and especially his emphasis of Davar Ha'omed L'Gilui, is further support for, you know, the parallel. Even though he could have said, you know, he's not related. Pinashu is not telling you anything here. You have to look what he writes in Yevamos about Eidecha b'misa sabal, and why does that work? The parallel problem. But the way that he's describing, you know, why chasimas haget will work, because it's really Eidecha nema b'surim, because it's really gilui milsa, is not so different than, you know, the other formulation in the Gemara about Eidecha b'misa sabal. Not daiku minseva, right? But milsa davidu ligluye, you know, that one. The one that the Rambam quotes in the end of Gerushin, as opposed to the one he quotes in Hilchos Seudos. So it's an interesting question, and when we get to Ed Echonim, we'll speak more about it, but this is like a big issue. You know, what happens when you have Eidos that focuses on, like, identifying, you know, something that objectively is more like Yisurim, right? Even though the effect, you know, is an erva in mamon in onshim. Not so different from what we were talking about in the Rambam before, about huksak, you know, chelev al yidei edachad. Right. So it's a very fine line, and really also a massive argument. Okay, so again, you get the same result as a Nota Behuda, in that, you know, both are saying that the reason, you know, that according to the Rambam and Rabbi Avigdor, this Eid Echad could work min HaTorah is because of Eid Echad Ne'amad B'Yisurin. Okay, the only thing is, the Nota Behuda is getting there by, you know, neutralizing Ischazek Yisura, right, through Reish Lakish in the case of Get, even when Reish Lakish is under fire, it still has enough for that, and through Daika Mintzav in the case of Eid Echad B'Misa Sabal. And the Pnei Yeshua is getting there by discussing the nature of the distinction between Isur and Mamon and Erva and so on. But also, you know, an interesting parshanut, you know, suggestion, and that is that when the Gemara says, you know, Kiyum Shtaros Dirabanan, right, it meant Lagabe, the drisha, the requirement of two edim, not, you know, across the board, Lagabe, any requirement, you know, to protect the shtar. Okay, so the answers of the acronym here, the Lacha Mishnah, Pnei Yeshua, Pnei Yeshua number one, Pnei Yeshua number three, the Nota Behuda, the Beis Shmuel, these are all different answers, but they really highlight different elements. Now, what about Pnei Yeshua number two? I skipped. So that's very interesting also. He just kind of slips that one in, but he has it in the Kuntres Achron and in his thing. He basically just suggests that the din that the din of the Gemara on Vav Med Bet, where the Gemara says that, you know, that b'fanei nechtam, will solve the problem of, you know, even the problem, presumably, of Kim Shtaros Daraisa. He says, how do you know that the Irur Habal, right, in that case, is Mizuyev? This is basically what he says. And Av Gimel Amud Aleph, right, the Gemara explicitly, you know, seems to be concerned about Ziv. Or at least Rashi understands that that's what the Gemara is concerned about. And that's where the Gemara says, you know, that, you know, Kim Shtaros is only Drabanan, you know, because... But the Gemara doesn't say there that if there was Irur Rabal, that Fanei Nechtam Fanei Nechtam would help you. So, but the Gemara in Vav Med Beis is talking about an Irur Rabal, right, that Fanei Nechtam Fanei Nechtam solves... Not necessarily talking about Ziyuf. So the Pnei Yeshua says it's probably one of the other Tainas out there, other than Ziyuf. And even if the Rambam, this is what he's not saying in so many words, this is implicit. Even if the Rambam or Rabbi Avigdor, let's say, are telling you that Irur Habal creates a requirement of Kiyum Daraisa, when there really is Irur Habal, that's true in Mizuyev, in Tainus Mizuyev. But it's not necessarily true in other Tainios that if you were to agree would have undermined the Shtar. So for example, let's say the Taina was Psulinhe. Right? Not that they're forged the signature, but they're not kosher aid. Or let's say the Taina was you know, Tznai Hayabidvarein. Like there was some unstated condition, you know, that renders this get, let's say, null and void, you know, under these conditions. Anything other than Mizuyev says the Pnei Yoshua, is what we're referring to on Vav Amud Beis. So there's a difference between Mezuyaf and all other time. That's to be found in these words. Here, 1 second. Towards the end of, you know, that second paragraph, he says, Ela de'ikar ha-chashash, it's like four lines from the bottom. Ela de'ikar ha-chashash she'yitan abal taina acheres lifsal. V'heineman b'migu de'mezuyef. Okay. V'aha ma'isi shapir memor de'resh lakish de'le'inyan taina acheres ha'v'kemishu nechroi du'san. Ukiyotza b'zak kasafti l'kaman v'avam b'beis. That's the Gemara that is the problem Gemara against the Rambam. The Yosibalam Aar Lomash Gekinambe. Nami Leikala Chuche Midi. The Efshalafarish Nami Hasam Leinyan Irur Acher Shalo Batainis Mezuyev. Ukamosha Kasafti Sham. El the Kan Babasi Lafarish Sugitishmaitin. Etc. Okay. So this is important, and this leads us to our next point. Even though we're kind of running out of time, but and that is as follows. Till now, we've been discussing Reish Lakish and whether or not the Shtar defends itself, right? And again, under all conditions, with the Ir Rabah, with the Ir Rabal Dafkin Gittin, what about the Edim, you know, Sba'arim, etc. Fine, but what about one of the things that we've noted to begin for all along is that Mezuyev, relative to other claims that would undermine the effectiveness of the shtar, is, you know, both like the most core and basic, you know, factor that needs protection, and also the most problematic, you know, basis for protection. In other words, the most elemental concern that you have when a contract, you know, surfaces and you don't know anything about it is that it's fraudulent. That's the first thing that you're worried about. So the most basic way to protect, you know, the basic protection that is required is to say, you know, chazaka lo mezayif, you know, inshi. And if Reish Lakish is going to protect in any way from that point of view, like the first line of its protection is going to be that it's not a forgery. On the other hand, I've mentioned this many times, it's also the most paradoxical, because it's one thing to say, oh, this thing was signed, and once it was signed, Eina Machzor Malashtar, now it's the commission according to some ambassador. Right? But to say, there's an ink on this piece of paper, you know, and therefore, you know, that means, you know, it's a signature, you know, that, you know, if that's the question, if that's the controversy, that seems most paradoxical, most catch-22, you know, esque, most, you know, it seems, you know, kind of a, a bit of a tautology. What are you saying? It's not, you know, the Edom and the Shtar protect themselves. There's no Edom. That's the whole point, right? So in that sense, if you were to compare the Taina of Mezuyev, right, with the Taina of Ktanim Hoyu, like they signed, it's really their signature, but they're Ktanim, or they're Psulim. Right, or they were anusim. Even then, I might make distinctions. Frankly, you know, especially if you think that, you know, there are certain edim who have a shame aid, but they're psulim. That might even be better than if they have no shame aid whatsoever. Certainly anusim, right? You know, they're gdolim, they're ksherim, begavra, you know, but they are anusim in this case. Okay, so though, but any of those, even, you know, even the ktanim part, is still different than Mezuyev. But it's different in two opposite ways. Everybody with me? So, Let's consider the next level. The next level is, and you can be mechalik between them too, but we're just, you know, we're not trying to make it complicated. Tnai hayu dvareinu, amana haya, we talked about amana a little bit last week, moda haya, right? So that's a situation where the Eidim are ksherim, let's say, but they're, you know, claiming, you know, that they're still claiming that the shtar, you know, as it, you know, is constituted, is not a valid contract, right? Because the circumstances in which the signing took place, you know, have not been met, right? So I'm not talking about a nusin now, but let's say moda, we signed, you know, but we, you know, on the side, you know, we set up a because we didn't want to get in trouble, you know, with the, you know, with the powers that were threatening us. So we did sign, and on the side we're setting up a moda or tana. Again, you might be bechalik between them too. Tana is milsach riti. You know, if it's true that this contract is only under these conditions, then it won't get off the ground. You know, but it's A, not written in there, and B, it's extraneous, meaning there's a deal and there's something that can torpedo the deal. Amana is somewhere, again, you know, closer to psulim and anusim, like we set up this, you're not supposed to create a shtar amana. It's considered like an avla because it's like a smoking gun. But, I set up this shtar in case I need it, but there was not yet the halva for it, right? That's still different than mezuyah, and it's even different than, you know, psulim ayinu, ktanim ayinu. It's even different than anusim ayinu, right? Because again, you set it up as a potential. This is a potential shtar, or a shtar in a potential transaction. And the other one is a real shtar with an amana, or a real shtar with a tana. So the interesting thing, and then of course, you know, beyond all that, and this we've talked about also, is the question of shtar chabiyari, my boy, you know, piron. Right, you know, there's a shtar. It says A borrowed money from B. Now, the shtar doesn't say anything about, you know, payment. The shtar is typically written, you know, before the debt is due. As I just write a shtar on day one, and the debt is due on day 30. Right? On the other hand, as we know, we've discussed this many times, as long as the guy is holding on to the shtar, as long as the malva is holding on to the shtar, you know, the lova can't claim, you know, that after the due date that he paid it, which he would be able to claim in a milva al peh, that's called kofar akol. But his kofar akol doesn't work when the other guy is saying shtar kubyani my boy. Now, is that like a completely extraneous raya? That's how many people understand it. The smoking gun, I'm holding the shtar. Or, like Reb Chaim understood it, it's also part of the Eidus Shebishtar. Even though it's after the fact. It's, you know, that's part of the blank check of the Eidus. So, but that you could totally understand. That you could totally understand is not at all paradoxical, right? If two Eidim would come along and say, you know what? Even though this guy's holding a shtar, the malve, we witnessed the piro. He was just careless or too trusting, and he didn't insist on a shovar, or he lost the shovar, or you know, he should have torn up the shtar milva. The guy said, I didn't have it. I'll go home and tear it up. Don't you trust me? It can happen. No one's going to think that's trey or trey. No one's going to say, oh, but you have Reish Lakish, the shtar, protects itself. It's even just very remarkable, you know, but I think Reb Chaim proved it, at least in the Rambam, that shtar chabiyani my boy is considered part of the Eidus Shebishtar and has anything to do with Reish Lakish, frankly. Because again, it's a kufa after. The shtar is omed lepiron, it's supposed to be repaid. Shtar is not omed leziyuf, and the shtar is not omed laamana. It's not omed la, you know, the moda. So the bigger idea I'm trying to make, I mention now is, and we'll finish with this next week, but I just want to start for a second, is that There's a whole range of issues connected with protecting the integrity of a shtar, and also the core, let's say, efficiency or effectiveness of a shtar, you know. But there's a hierarchy in that. So as you move away from mezuyah, which is like the most core but the most paradoxical, you get this kind of interesting inverse effect. Because on the one hand, you know, the shtar is a really bona fide, serious, kula alma mode authentic document. You know, so on the one hand, it's even more powerful because everybody's admitting it's a real kosher shtar, as opposed to the aspects of the paradox, which are, we're saying it's not. You know, Reish Lakish isn't a healthy shtar. This isn't a healthy shtar. Maybe it's not even, if you're going the other, right? So on the one hand, the more, you know, you move away from challenging the, you know, the core legitimacy of the shtar, the more powerful Reish Lakish gets. On the other hand, it also gets weaker because, you know, some of the other things are not a contradiction to the core enterprise of the shtar. So that's why I wanted to show a little bit. So I'm just going to start. Give me 1 minute just to start. Oh, I have real... Thank you. Okay. So let's look at the Gemara in Ksuvos just for a minute. And I'll try to finish with this part and then start talking about more about the Echad Nehman Bisur next time. But so the Mishnah here in Ksuvos, this is on page 1, right? Mm-hmm. Right at the beginning. So the Gemara says like this. The Mishnah we've seen already, but let's go over it for a second. Ha'edim Shamar, just for background to start off. Ha'edim Shamar Niksav Edeinu Huzeh. The Edim say yes. This is our John Hancock. It's not Mezuyah. Aval, but, you know, Anusamayinu. Now again, what they're saying is, it's not a forgery, but it never was a legitimate Eidos. So that's the next level from Zio. Right? Anusamayinu, Ketanemayinu, Psule Eidos Ayinu. So the Mishnah says, Harelu Nemanim, because they're the only ones who are Bekayim. If they weren't there to tell you it was their signature, we wouldn't trust it anyway. So that's called a peshas or pesha hitir. However, im yesh edim shuk sav yadam, if it's not a peshas or because you have other evidence that this is their John Hancock, osheik sav yadam yotzim imokam acher, or you have their signatures on file, so then einan nemanim. Right? Why? So beyond the question of why, so skip to the Gemara just for a minute. Go down, in the next Gemara, go down 5 lines, because the other part we read already. Tanu Rabbana. So what the Mishnah says is actually a debate. Tanu Rabbana. Ein namanim leposlo, div Rabbi Meir. Chachamim omrim namanim. So the Gemara says, in which case? If they are the source of ksav yadam yotzim yimakam acher, so the Rabbanan say Peshas and Pesha Yitir, right? And therefore we believe them. So, but Rabbi Meir says even then we don't believe them. I mean, if they say, yes, this is our signature, not a forgery, but we were Ketanim at the time, right? Since you need them to, at least mid Rabbanan, for the shtar to work, you need them to affirm their Ksav Yad, so we say Peshas and Pesha Yitir. Rabbi Meir says, no, we don't. Right? So the Gemara says, Bishlam l'Rabbanan k'tamayo peshas u'pesha yitir. Fine. But what's the problem for Rabbi Meir? My taima. Rabbi Meir doesn't believe in peshas u'pesha yitir. Says the Gemara, Bishlam p'sule edus, with regard to the idea that they claim that we were p'sulim l'edus, malve gufa meikara meidak dayiku mechtam. Interesting. K'tanim Nami k'dereish lakish. Nomereish lakish. Chazaka edem chosvim al shtar elim k'nasa begadol. Elanusa maitaima. Okay, I'm going to have to stop here. But so let me just set it up. 2 points. So, number one, these other things, are they they're the parallel to Reish Lakish. The second one, the K'tanim one, actually is Reish Lakish. Is it the same Reish Lakish? Meaning, is this another? Is this an application of Eidim Atzum Al Ashtar Nasek Mishne Akor Dusan Bevezdin? When we say, "Oh Chazaka," the Malva would never allow Psulin, or Ktanim never sign on Ashtar. You know, here we don't have the phrase Eidim Achasumim Kamisha Nechkara, but is it treated the same way or not? Some Rishonim, when they talk about these things, they just plug in Reish Lakish. I mean, the Eidim Achasumim one. Reb Chaim certainly understood this way, as we'll discuss. So, getting back to Pnei Yeshua, just to raise the question, this we stop. The Pnei Yeshua, to solve the Rambam, Rabbi Victor question, one of the answers that he was giving was, if you're talking about Mezuyah, he was saying, you know, so because it's more, it is more core, but it's also more paradoxical. So if the Baal is Ma'ara, we're not going to ignore that. That's Kiyum Shtaros Daraisa. But the Gemara says, Eidechad, Befaninechtam, will solve the problem. How can it be if it's a Daraisa problem? So that answer, the Pnei Yeshua is saying, no, that's not on the era of Mezuyah. That's on the era of one of these other Tainas. Meaning, even though, like Mezuyah, these other Tainas render the Shtar impotent, it's not going to work. Right? But it doesn't have the paradox catch-22 part of it. Like, oh, the Shtar protects itself. It's a forgery. It's not a forgery. It just may not be Eidim Ksherim. Right? So where in that, as I said, this kind of inverse relationship, where do you see that, or do you see it, in the Gemara? So I'm going to track it a little bit in terms of, just on the page here, in terms of Balidosis, and a little more. Is it a din in Eidus, like it sounds like in Mezuyah, right? Or more like an Umdana? You know, how far do we take this idea? Okay? And then we'll talk about Eidach and Nem Bisurim also. Yirtz Hashem.